We are concluding the Gospel of John this morning, which brings me, where do we go next? I'm not sure. We'll go somewhere. But we're in John chapter 21, verses 18 through 25. And we've just looked at how Peter was questioned by Jesus of his love for Jesus. And we looked at that in depth, and Jesus asked Peter, do you love me or do you agape me? The highest form of love. And Peter knew, as a good Jewish boy, he knew the Shema, which was basically to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and so forth. And yet Jesus says, do you love me, Peter? And Peter is asked two times by Jesus, do you agape me? Peter can only respond, you know, Lord, but you know I love you as a brother. Peter cannot bring himself to say, I agape you. And Jesus gives Peter a command, Peter, feed my sheep. However, the Lord asked Peter the last time in his questioning, do you love me as a brother? Jesus lowers the standard. And same command, though, is given by Jesus, feed my sheep. Even if you love me just as a brother, same command, Peter, feed my sheep. Now, this question by Jesus to Peter, it grieves Peter. So Peter, again, he declares, Lord, you know I love you at least as a brother. Feed my sheep, Peter. Now, this questioning by Jesus occurs before the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, Peter will stand up on that day and preach a sermon where 5,000 people come to salvation in Christ. Peter has been restored already by Jesus right after the resurrections. So why is Jesus putting Peter through this pointed questioning, this grieving questioning by Jesus of Peter? Jesus is wanting to sink a point home to Peter. Remember, Peter's the one that was so adamant about never denying Jesus. You know, if everybody else denies you, Jesus, not me. I will even die for you. Only for Peter to then deny Jesus three times when questioned by servant girls in the courtyard. Peter absolutely needs to avow his love for Jesus, even if it is only brotherly love. And Jesus gives the same command to Peter three times. It's feed my sheep, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. And as followers of Jesus, we have to come to the same conclusion that Peter came to, and this, the Lord knows our hearts. He knows how fickle we can be. He knows how unstable we can be in our emotions. So, like Peter, we can say, Lord, you know I love you, even if it's only like a brother. Jesus doesn't condemn Peter for his brotherly love. There's no condemnation there whatsoever. And we cannot fool or deceive Jesus with our depth of love. He knows us. He knows what gets us out of bed in the morning. He knows our wants, our desires. And like Peter, we can say, you know, Lord, where I'm at. So I ask you, right now, in the privacy of your own heart, between you and the Lord, who knows your heart, where's your love of God? Stop for a moment and just consider, where is my love of God? And as you consider this, there happens to be a test of our love of God. Jesus said several times over and over in his Gospels, if you love me, obey me. That's how we show our love of the Lord, is by obedience to the Lord. Our emotions, our feelings, they can and they do deceive us. Peter recognizes this and falls back on, Lord, you know, Lord, that I love you. Even if it's only like a brother, I still love you. And the Lord knows your depth of love, and he knows my depth of love towards him. So that brings the question, where is my obedience level then to the Lord? Am I obeying the Lord? Do I bother to know what the Lord requires of me in his scriptures? So where is our obedience level? Are there issues that we refuse to pray about because we're sort of afraid what the Lord will answer, how he will answer us? Have we already determined our obedience by putting it on a back shelf, by not praying about certain issues? And I'm only going to mention one issue here. And I understand our giving of offerings falls into the obedience category. Now, I personally do not know who gives what in our fellowships. I'm determined never to know who gives what. And I do my best to never harp upon or condemn anybody about their giving. I think to beg or plead for money is a shame upon many of the Christian church. But I say this, give cheerfully unto the Lord, or don't bother to give. It's all right, we'll get by. And it's, you know, so I don't make pleas for money. But our giving is an act of obedience to the Lord. Jesus spoke of our giving quite often. In fact, it was probably one of his more favorite topics. But let's read the words of Jesus to Peter and Peter's response. And that's in verses 18 through 25. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wish. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, this is Jesus talking to Peter, follow me. Peter then, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on the breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Then this saying went out among the brethren that the disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. And then John says, amen. Most assuredly, Peter, Jesus is getting up close and personal to Peter. And when you were younger, you kind of did as you pleased, Peter. And if you wanted to go fishing, you went fishing. But that is going to bring about this change, Peter. As you grow old, you will be carried where you do not wish. You're going to be taken to places you don't desire to go to, Peter. And Jesus tells Peter his future. How Peter will glorify God in his death. Our concept of death can be completely different than our Lord's concept of us dying. God looks upon our death, and he looks upon it as a homecoming. 1 Corinthians 15:54 and 55, two verses I'll read to you. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? This is written by Paul, who tells us this corruptible flesh will be changed to incorruptible. You know, and as long as we live in this tent, this body, we struggle with flaws, we struggle with temptations that come about by our fleshly desires. Paul writes how these things, that he says, the things that I want to do, I do not do. And the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing them. And our lives can fall into a struggle against temptation, against our flesh, and we have some good days and we can have some bad days. But in death of this body, we are changed. We go to be with Christ. Jesus told us to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ or with himself. In Psalm 116:15, we read, precious, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And when we die, and we all will, it's a precious thing to our Lord. Our death is looked upon as a treasure to our Lord. As believers, death should not hold us in fear. And death, when it's put in its proper perspective by Jesus, we find that it's a glorious thing. Peter, however, when informed of his own last days and how he would bring glory to God in his death, and Jesus says to Peter, follow me. Peter, trying to deflect this heavy-duty personal moment, look at what Peter has to say. Verse 20 and 21. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, following, who also leaned on the breast of Jesus at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Jesus has just told Peter and insinuated to Peter how he would die, and Peter, you will be crucified. And this moment is overwhelming to Peter. It's too up close. It's too much in your face for Peter to handle. And Peter, in a moment of sort of despair, says, Lord, but what about this man? And I'm sure Peter points to John. It's sort of an odd question by Peter, but it totally fits his character. This is Peter. Jesus again addresses Peter, If he remains till I come, what is that to you, Peter? Peter, you follow me. And we have a rumor that begins to circulate after this, that John would not die. However, John corrects this rumor, and Jesus did not say that I, John, would not die. But he said, if I will that you remain till I come, what is that to you, Peter? John gives testimony of the very words of Jesus. Now, we all look for fairness. We all look for equality. But back when I was in high school, and that was just a couple, 3 years ago, I considered myself the athlete, all right? And I wanted my coaches to be impartial. I wanted them to give me a fair assessment of my abilities and so forth. And some of my coaches were fair and some were not. But Peter has heard his future spelled out to him by Jesus. Peter is concerned about the fairness of Jesus. Peter's concerned that maybe he's being given a harder path to travel than John is being given. And after all, John writes of himself, I am the disciple whom Jesus loved. But we can, if you look at Scripture carefully, you can see there might be a little competition between John and Peter. And we pick up on this competition of the disciple because it's John who tells us he outran Peter to the tomb. Why mention that? Well, I'm a little quicker than old Peter is. I outran him. And John tells us of the open rebuke that Peter faces by Jesus. It carries on. Peter wrote two epistles, 1st and 2nd Peter. John wrote 3, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and plus his gospel. So there seemed to be a little competition that was there among the disciples. But now John records Jesus' parting words to Peter in his gospel. And when we observe what we think is unfair treatment, remember Jesus' words to Peter. You follow me. Forget everything else, Peter. You follow me. And Peter, he must come to the realization that Jesus has called him to follow him. But Peter has had his eyes and attention on John and the other disciples. And Jesus has just took Peter through the do you love me three times. Jesus tells Peter how he's going to die. He insinuates how Peter will die. But you're going to glorify me in death, Peter. But Peter, he still wants to know, well, what about John? And Jesus directs the attention back to Peter. What is that to you, Peter? Not allowing Peter to shift the attention away from himself. Peter, I'm dealing with you one-on-one. Hear me, Peter. John would then tell us, my testimony is true, true for Peter, true for you, true for me, true for John. Love Jesus and follow him. That's what Jesus would say to each and every one of us. You follow me. We cannot shift the responsibility of following Jesus. We cannot make excuses of not following Jesus. Because Peter confesses that he loved Jesus as a brother, but the same command is given to Peter, even if Peter said, I agape you. And that is, feed my sheep, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. And if we claim to be followers of Christ, and if we have any love for Christ, we too are to feed his sheep. Well, what does that entail? What is feeding the sheep? It's loving one another and taking care of one another. It's that simple. We are to love in such a way that there is no cost put upon our love. No cost of time, no cost of money, no cost of effort. We are to remove ourselves from the equation. We are to love one another like Jesus loved us. But John concludes his gospel with, the entire world could not contain the accounts of Jesus if they were recorded one by one. Now, in our world today, we have the great ability of storing information that can be retrieved, microchips. And John says, if the world were to record the things Jesus did one upon one, it couldn't hold the volumes of what Jesus did. So we get a picture of Jesus from John based around the miracles, seven miracles of his gospel. But John wants us to know Jesus did many, many other things. And if I were to try to write them down, it would be a lifelong work just to try to record what Jesus did. So, love the Lord, feed his sheep. Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer.